Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven. Minus Marcus Maven. I'm your host, Steve Rummage, today. Nikki V is back in the booth. I'm actually at home today. So things
they
are a little different.
They want the boot.
Do they? Do they want that?
Yeah, 50-50.
They do. 50-50. It's what they want. It's what they want. Well, listen, whether they want it or not, it's what they have today. And today is going to be an interesting day.
It's kind of the theme of the year, I feel like, with U of L athletics. It's like, well, if you want it or not, this is what you're getting.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just like, yeah, well, deal with it, watch it, enjoy it. But today is going to be an interesting day, and we're going to take calls today, 8150-939. I'll be on the Twitter, of course. I don't have the text line here at the house. Maybe Nikki can grab a couple of those, and we'll see if we can get a few in there. But a lot to discuss, a heck of a weekend, and you know what? I'm actually going to start here. What about the NFL this weekend?
How great was that? Great games all around, a couple of them coming down to last-second kicks. I was in Nashville this weekend for a hockey game. We went to see the Preds and the Wings, and I got to say, I mean, maybe it was only because, you know, staying in a hotel, so naturally it's going to be full of Houday folk. But the energy there seemed very much in favor of the Bengals. I mean, I saw so many people walking around the city rocking, you know, hell, even old Andy Dalton jerseys, you know, doing the Houday to one another. And I was at a bar, and I, you know, asked them to get, like, a U of L game on. It was kind of in the corner, so I got to watch that a little bit. I got to watch the first half, and then went back and watched the replays. But they had the Titans game on, man. And, like, you know, Tannehill's throwing picks, and, like, everyone's just kind of like, eh. And they go back to the country music. I was like, what is – I mean,
That's wild. I've
worked in sports bars when you got a playoff game or a rivalry game going, and things are being thrown. And, you know, I mean, it's got, like, an old-school Western saloon feel to it where, you know, people are going to start, you know, shooting up in the air and, you know, grabbing Miss Kitty and smashing chairs over one another. And, I mean, you know, there it was just like, well, damn. You hate to see it. And then they just went right back to there. I was like, wow. Like, this city is, you know.
Yeah, we knew we'd lose.
And the music, the guy playing music, I mean, that is one thing. You go to any bar down there. And
there's great music
in this city, too. Don't get me wrong. But you go to just any bar down there, and there's a guy that I'm like, how the hell has this guy not been signed? I mean, he was terrific. So, I mean, I understood. But, yeah, no, the games were awesome this weekend. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and you are starting to feel the, at least for me, I guess for non-Bengals fans, I don't dislike the Bengals. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them win it, you know, whatever. But you're starting to feel that palpable Bengal buzz, if you'll allow me to say that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it almost felt like, oh, man, okay, this thing's starting to really – You know, like, and I'm talking like outside of the fan base, the Bengal fan base. It was like, but that's what started the week off, man. And it's like the games just kept getting better. It was wild, man. I mean, that for that game to happen the way it did, and then on Saturday night you got the Niners up, you know, coming back. Well, not really. Well, I guess coming back, yeah. But I mean, upsetting the Packers on a last second field goal, you know. And then yesterday was just tremendous all the way around. I mean, everybody just knew it was 20-3. It was like, yeah, Brady would come back. And then when I saw it was 20-27, I was like, oh, yeah, Brady do his thing. You know, like the Bucs are going to win this game.
He's got him right where he wants him.
Yeah, and then, you know, they go tied up, and it's like, and I like Brady, so this is coming from a guy who, like, I root for Brady. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, same old thing, you know. Brady's going to take him overtime, get the dub, and then just for it to be like, whoa, it didn't happen that way. You know, it's like, oh, wow. Like, it was almost, like, shocking that when the Rams hit that long ball, it was like, he's actually not going to win. Like, that's kind of crazy. And then, of course, last night, one of the best games it's been played in years. I mean, so, yeah, this was definitely the best divisional round ever, and I'm not sure it will it'd ever be matched, but it might have been, like, the best weekend of football ever. So it was awesome,
man.
You
had what? You had two games end on a last-second field goal with, you know, Cincy and Tennessee, and then, San Fran and Green Bay. Then you have, an overtime matchup with Chiefs and Rams. Sorry. Chiefs and Bills. Sorry. Yeah. And then Rams and Rams and Bucks. Like, here's the thing. Do you think it was like it's overreaction Monday, but like a passing of the torch a little bit, because all of a sudden now, I mean, this is sort of like the end of the era with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, Brady is eventually going to slow down. So all of a sudden it was like, you know, now it's Joe Burrow in there. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has been there for a while, and I like low key, you know, it's great for business because that's our parent company and everything. But like, there's not a player, and I feel like a lot of the guys here, I know they talked about it on the Diener show. I don't remember if it was Drew, if it was Brandon Lank, but there was not like, no, it was Blank. I didn't think Josh Allen was going to work at all. I thought he was quirky. I thought that he came in with like a bad attitude about it. He was like, well, you know, I dropped in the draft, dude, that dude's balling out there, man. I mean, I completely missed the mark on him, along with, I think a little bit of it was fueled with, you know, Lamar envy, I guess, if you will. But it was the fact that, you know, the Louisville Mafia, if we will, were rallying around our boy and not taking any of the slander. And maybe we're a little overly critical of Josh Allen, but I kind of was rooting for the Bills to get it done. As great as it would have been, you know, as it is for our mothership 810 in Kansas City, and I am happy for Jason Anderson. But I was like, I got a lot of Buffalo friends, man. There's a lot of Buffalo kids in the hockey community, and a long-suffering fan base. I kind of wanted them to get the nod.
No, I totally agree. It was an awesome weekend. Looking forward to next week, but we can't prolong it any longer. The people are going to be outside the studio. Most people don't know where I live. They might know the neighborhood, but exactly where. So well,
they'll pick it outside Harry's. There's good people.
There's good people at the places I visit. The studio would be in danger if we don't talk about this weekend when it pertains to the University of Louisville. Now, let me start from the beginning. We talked about it. It's always an easy place to start. Me and you talked about it on Friday, Nick. We had the conversation about it having a big game feel, about it having a 4 o'clock Saturday Notre Dame, you know, and I was like, I think that's going to be the case. Nick, I showed up to the game about 3:15. It was 100% the case. Walking into that place, it's the first time in a while, because last year, and to be fair, last year with the COVID protocols and stuff, I mean, that obviously there couldn't be as many people there, but it's the last time in 2 years that you've walked in. And even then, it was just a few games, you know, but it was like, man, there's a lot of people coming in. I parked up, you know, I had to go to the top of the second floor of the Witherspoon, you know, it was packed. It was like, okay, this is feeling like you get into the arena. There's a buzz in the arena. It's like the fan base is, they're showing up. The upper deck, there's already people, you know, that's starting to fill in up there. And it's like, okay, this feels like Louisville basketball again. And it felt like people were really buying in to turning this thing around, right? Like, does that make sense? Like, it felt like the fan base showed up with the attitude on Saturday of, okay, let's get it right.
Right.
Let's go. We won Boston College. Let's go beat this Notre Dame team. I mean, Nick, you talked about it. You know, Kentucky lost to Auburn, which, whatever. I mean, you know, but I mean, of course, I enjoy when they lose. I don't care if they lose to the best team ever created. I'm going to laugh. but it's like, okay, you know, you're feeling good. Notre Dame beat Kentucky. There's the transitive property there. You know, if you really needed it, you know what I'm saying? Notre Dame's a spot ahead of you in the AAC rankings. You can move up to as high as 2 with a win. You know, like, I mean, there's so much happening here that it's like, okay, this is the fan base was there. They were juiced. It was awesome. The pregame, fans are there. Now, again, we got to get a little something done about getting people in the building. I know I got a few pictures people were sending me that there were extremely long lines out front again.
Oh, I thought you were channeling your inner Charlie Strong. And yeah.
No. Like people physically couldn't get in the building.
Oh, okay. Like it was like a logistics problem. Okay. All right.
They were a little understaffed, I think, and they were struggling to get everybody because everybody kind of goes to that front door. So I know there were a lot of people that didn't get in until like 6 minutes into the game, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
that kind of sucks. But the point is, man, the energy was there. It felt like Louisville basketball. And quite honestly, the way the game kind of kicked off in the first half, I thought we were lining up for a great day.
Okay. On one hand, we'll get to this, you know, a little later.
Yeah.
I think we figured out something with the offense. They need to go to the last 3 seconds of the shot clock to shoot. Because I mean, Jared West turned into freaking Steph Curry. I mean, Mason Faulkner didn't realize that like the shot clock was going down. Heaves one up with like a second on the shot clock that goes in. I mean, it was one of those things. It was, you know what it was? It was they were all like channeling their inner Russ Smith. Like I mean, that first half was a lot of fun. I mean, Notre Dame was hitting two, so it went back. They were hitting crazy shots. It went back and forth, but it really was like if you had to honor, well, look, if they were honoring Griff, then it would be fitting if it was you know dunks all over the place. But you're honoring Russ. I mean, you had to be shooting with like guys in your face from the logo. I mean, and it was fitting. They were channeling their inner Russ Smith. It was a lot of fun. And you have, you know, you're honoring Russ Smith. You have Pitino come back, and I mean, you get a standing ovation. It was the energy.
We'll get there. We'll get there to Pitino, and because that's going to be part of the story here. The first half, it seems, I mean, Jalen Withers goes around a guy, punches it, you know, we're like, okay, this is good. Like the fan base, you could hear, and I could hear the people talking. There were people in the stands were like, okay, you know what? Let's go. Like, you know, and you start hearing the conversations of, man, let's get this. We go Monday, we beat Virginia. Like there was a lot of people were getting on board or willing to get on board, right? Then you get to halftime. Louisville's in the lead. People are feeling pretty good about the first half. Halftime, they don't give you a second to breathe. They march Russ Smith right out there, and it was, let me just say, kudos to U of L. They've taken a lot of heat, but the Lamar Jackson ceremony and the Russ Smith ceremony were both incredible. I mean, they knocked them both out of the park. Like, so I will say that. So for all of us, including myself, that even said, maybe we should push these back, it's like, y'all did awesome. Like, y'all did absolutely awesome. So those people over there in the marketing department over at U of L, like, kudos to y'all. That was incredible. But they jump right into it, man. It was like, okay. And now as a Louisville fan, you're sitting here and you're going, oh, my God, there's Russ. There's Griff. Here's all the jerseys. Oh, there's Peyton. There's Luke. There's, you know, like, and then there's Masiello. And then there's Ralph Willard. And that's when the fan base started to kind of like, we're not stupid. You put Mass and Willard up there, we're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Then they cut to some, then they, and I'm just trying to take you all on this journey of that I was on. And then they start going back and you're like, okay, now they're just showing clips. And then you're sitting there and you're like, surely they're not going to do this without Patino. Surely, no way. And you look up and then they show a picture, Nick, of the 2013 National Championship with Rick Pitino holding the trophy. And this is what I love about this fan base. They knew at that moment Rick was going to do a message. Because it was like, you guys showed his picture. He's about to pop up on this screen. And Rick Pitino pops up on this screen. And the place explodes. It's the loudest chair I've heard in the Yum Center in years. Maybe since he's been here. Definitely since Michigan. Like, when we beat Michigan that game. Like, so.
Right.
The place explodes. Then you get this story, and it's perfect Rick Pitino, man. I mean, it's just, it's a great story, and it's Rick, and it's I love you, son, and I'm proud of you, and it's like, God, that's Rick. And I'm going somewhere with all this, so y'all follow with me. And you're just do you? Okay, play that. Play the Rick Pitino
message. Play the Pitino part, all right.
Yeah.
Wow, Rose Lee.
Rusticulous, congratulations on a great day. I remember as if it's yesterday, your dad calling me up after your freshman year with you on the line, asking me if you were going to play next year. And I said, Big Russ, not if he continues to take bad shots, ridiculous shots, and not if he doesn't work hard. Well, one out of two wasn't bad the next year. You rose to the occasion. You worked your tail off. Two-time All-American the following year, which is senior year as well. Two Final Fours. And to think, not one Big East school, not one Power Five school recruited you. We had that great honor. I don't think I've ever laughed as much in coaching a player. I don't think I've ever cried as much in coaching a player. And certainly I don't think I could love a player any more than I love you. Congratulations, son. You're something special.
Golly, Nick.
Chills, man.
Chills. My gosh. Now you get that with just the crowd. And Rick Pitino, listen, the place explodes. And as soon as he starts speaking, dead silence. Like, it was like the reverence for Rick Pitino still in that place was like, nobody say a word while coach is speaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like they listened to it. And then just, okay, as soon as it's over, there's another like, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, Rick. So this is happening. This is happening in this arena. And whether you like Rick or not, like, there may be some that's like, no, I hate Rick Pitino. He's screwed us over. Okay. You even were saying, okay, but I'm getting the old feels of Russ being here, you know, and all that. So it can still apply to somebody who is like me. I'm like, what body part do you need me to give up to get Rick back? Like, whatever it is, I'll do it. You know,
both of them. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's like, okay. But, all that's happening. And then Russ speaks. And Russ has a great speech. And he has an emotional, and you can see it. We've never got to see Russ like that. And he's dang near got tears in his eyes. And he's trying to fight back. You know, he's getting choked up. And then he hugs his grandma. And it's like, oh, man, there's a lot happening here, man. And like, and just the thought, because a lot of us who have, a lot of us have had grandmas or, you know, pass away. Nick, I think me and you both have, you know, and it's like your grandma usually isn't going to get to see an accolade like that.
Right.
And his did, you know, and you could tell that meant the world to him. And all this is happening. And then Big Russ takes the mic and he's put that 2013 banner back up. And it's just so much is happening. It's the perfect day. We're back on board. Everything's happening the way it should. And then the team comes back out of the locker room. And on the first play, Malik Williams gives up an and one. And that entire stadium, Nick, sat down, folded their arms, and said, I dare you to lose today. I dare you to lose today. And it's funny. I was actually talking with Drew Diener at that time, and I pointed it out to him. I said, look at this place. It was like you all come back out of halftime, jack up some stupid shot, and give up an and one, and just come out flat as can be. And it took a minute and a half, Nick, for that whole arena to sit down and say, okay, they all looked. That arena stared holes through Coach Mack and said, I dare you to lose this game. And he did. And that's a problem. And it's not one I'm sure you recover from. Now, we'll get into that. We'll get into some of this. We'll get into the basketball element of it because there is some of that too. And I know people – look, things can still happen. I understand that. Like, I said it on Twitter, like, I'm a hopeless romantic with sports. Like, I don't want to give up until there's no time left, you know. But, man – Nick, I'm not sure you recover from that one, man. And that's why I wanted to take you through that entire journey that I was on in that arena and that the fans were on in that arena. And just the way you come out in the second half. And it's just, well, now all of a sudden y'all forgotten how to – I mean, you're not guarding the guys. And then you have to watch a true freshman in Blake Wesley who you recruited – go ball out, and I've got true freshmen like Roosevelt Wheeler just sitting on the bench. And then in the post game, you say, well, Sidney Curry got hurt, so Malik was getting tired because he had to play majority of the minutes. Well, no, he didn't have to play majority of the minutes, Coach. He didn't have to. Well, there are other options. There are JJ trainers. There are Roosevelt Wheelers. There are options setting over there. I understand Sidney got hurt. Okay, I understand that. I know some people that weren't at the game or maybe just I was getting a lot of people angry about Sidney not playing. It's like Sidney was clearly hurt. He couldn't play in the second half. I get that. But don't tell me there's no other option than Malik Williams. And then I've got to watch my center just pump fake, fadeaway three, air ball. You know, he had to have taken eight threes, seven threes. Probably wasn't that many, but I guarantee it was up there. Like, it was
we'll get into that with the grade segment for sure.
Yeah. We'll get into all that. But it's like, golly, just the way it was like slowly. And this hurts worse. It hurts worse when you just pop a balloon. They didn't do that. They slowly let the air out of it. That
right.
entire
Making
second
fart noises
half.
The whole time, yeah.
Yes, and you could see just the air just draining out of the fan base. And it's like, Coach, I don't know what to do at this point. Like, I don't want to do the just, okay, let's start talking about next candidates. You know what I'm saying? Because there's not a Jeff Brohm. There's not.
Right.
There's not a Brohm that's out there. It's like, no, that's a one-for-one switch. You fire him, you hire him. Hands down. Like, so you're going to probably be in for a coaching search. And we can talk about a coaching search. And everybody's probably got an opinion. A lot of people want Bruce Pearl. Some people want Kenny Payne. People want the Nate Oates, Eric Musselman. You know, like, there's a debate there to be had. But it's like, it just has put the fan base who showed up. And that's what I think aggravates me so much about Saturday. Is this fan base had every right to not show up. Or to show up strictly for Russ. Like, you know, like, hey, we're here for Russ. We're leaving the second half. I don't care what y'all do.
Yeah. Or show up begrudgingly where it's like, okay, we're going to cheer for you know, Russ, but like, we're not going to really open the game until you show us something. And I feel like, you know, they came
that's
in.
That's a good point.
The energy was they were at an 8 walking in.
Yes.
And then it got up to like a 12 at halftime. I mean, that was and it makes it seem even louder just because it hasn't had that energy all season. So
that's a good point.
So
yeah,
there's also that feel where, you know, it felt like a 12. It was probably a 10, but it felt like a 12 because the stadium Yum has been like a 5 all year. So suddenly you get back up to that loud roar that you haven't heard in a while, and it just seemed even more palpable.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. That's why I try not to rewrite history too much when I'm like, well, you know, we were beating Michigan and stuff. It was pretty wild out there, you know. It's just like, but I just coach, man. I mean, it was like you're watching this happen, and it's like it's just letting the guys like you're not like I'm starting to get to where I'm like, no, man. The guys are playing the defense you put in. Like, teams are getting open threes. Like, don't put that all on the guys. They're playing the defense you want them to play. You know, so.
That's true. And in the first half, when they were going blow for blow, just in the second half, they looked like, and I get what you're saying with Mac, that, you know, it's the system that even when they're playing, you know, defense pretty well, it still seems to be a little lackluster. But, yeah. I mean, there were some collapses on D in the second half. I mean, the guys weren't playing. So, I mean, there was no system that could have helped that. I mean,
I do agree with that. I'm talking big picture, like over the last season.
Yeah.
Like when teams consistently, I mean, listen, teams are consistently getting open looks against Louisville. Like, I mean, it's open threes. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not a coincidence that we're playing teams and like, man, it's the best 3-point shooting team they or night they've had all year. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, because they're getting so many open looks. You know, it's like, right, I was talking actually to I was talking to the father of a player before the game, and this player I like a lot, you know, and I'm like, and he's like, man, you know, he always right there when the shot goes in, it's like he's closing out. And I'm like, the problem is, and I used Marcus's son, Jalen, as an example. I said, man, the problem is, I said, those are the guys, though, that always get caught in that picture. The guys that the Jalen Reeves Mavens that go so hard that it's like it looks, you know, the picture ends up being Jalen diving for the guy at the end zone, you know. And I'm like, and I watched this particular, well, I'll just say it was Mason Faulkner. I mean, and I'm watching the players, and I'm like, man, you know, you watch a guy like him, and it's like, well, if nobody's going to guard him, he'll just take off, and he tries to close out, and it's like, well, then he gets in the picture.
Right. And it looks like it's like, his fault when he's trying to help.
It looks like he's the one messed up, and it's like, no, it's just like his basketball mind's like, for the love of God, somebody go close out. Like, and it just it's baffling to watch because I'm not going to rewrite history. I just disagree so much when people are like, the talent's not really there on this team. Like, yes, it is. Yes, it is. The talent is there on this team that it could be. Are they a national championship team? I don't know. I mean, you know, when we talk, I mean, I've watched one national championship team since I've been born. And one of their jerseys just got retired. The other guard is number 2 in steals behind that guy. you know, Gorgie Jang's one of the best shot blockers we've ever had here. You know, play still in the NBA. Montrezl Harrell was on that team's in the NBA. Shane Bohannon, you know, it's like Luke Hancock, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and none of those guys were the MOP.
I know. Yeah.
There's so another it's like, MOP yes, on there.
Yeah. So when I say, are they a national championship team? I don't know that. But this team's good enough that we could have expected. And maybe they do. God knows. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to quit completely until it's done and over and the horn sounds, you know. And look, and I know James Strebel, you know, talking with him and stuff last year. I know how we talk behind the scenes, not just messing around on the air. And it was like going into the SEC tournament, you're still like, well, maybe they can win it. You know, like, man. Maybe they can win, you know, and it's like, maybe they could win a couple games here. So I've got that sickness built in me. I understand if you don't, you know, talking to anybody else, like, I understand that. I do. I'm just like, well, let's see, man. I still believe there's good players on this team. I think there's a good shot they might win tonight.
Well, I mean, it's at this point, like, you're going to need that attitude every game. Because, if 14's the number, I mean, they got to go, what, like a
they're not getting there. They're not getting there.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm pretty comfortable saying they're not going to get to 14. They're going to have to make some sort of run in the ACC tournament. Like, maybe not win it, depending on what they do. Like, we talked about it the other day. If they get to 12 or 13, maybe you can make a little bit. But it's like, here's the problem, though. And this is what we ran into in football season. Nobody really wants to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wants to hear me get on the radio and say, well, I mean, you know, I mean, if they fix this and they fix this. And that's what I worry about for Coach Mack in particular, is I think the fan base is starting to get to the point where it's like, because, I mean, make no mistake about it. After last football season, there are people that's just, it's a wrap. Like, I don't care what he does. He wins 8-9 games. I don't care. Schedule sucked. Get him out of here. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And the football team, they've got some good momentum rolling. I mean, with what's happened there, I saw some of the recruits they had in. They've got a big-time recruiting weekend next week. I mean, so, look, kudos to them. Like, you know, I mean, I've been as harsh as anybody on them, but I mean, kudos to what they're doing, man. They're getting some momentum rolling, and maybe they can carry that on into next season, you know. But with Mac, I mean, do you think I'm wrong on that, Nick? Like, with Mac, it feels like that after the last week and a half, 2 weeks, there's just a portion of the fan base, and I've never seen this in basketball in my lifetime. I've never seen this in basketball ever for Louisville. That are just like, yeah, it don't matter what he does. I'm done.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. I feel like it was fueled by, like you said, when you took a step back. And once they approached the offseason, too, and they made some improvements, and there was the meeting, and it was like, well, you know, a lot of the fans that were in that middle ground or were teetering heavily towards this guy ain't the guy, I feel like once the season ended, you could take a deep breath. You saw the hires. You saw some of the recruits coming. And you're like, well, you know, okay, we need a little work in the defensive line. They got some of those guys. All right. Oh, that Momo Sanogo guy was pretty good. All right, got him. All right. Yeah, okay. Like it was – people weren't happy, but it was enough that, like you said, you could – some of the momentum went back. And it was – I don't know. What basketball, I think, was – part of it was there was a bad taste in everyone's mouth going into the season from football. I feel like that kind of tainted it a little bit as well.
Oh, I do think that to an extent. Yeah, I do think people were already conditioned to, look, we will fire a guy in a heartbeat, you know, like in our brains, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, the whole season, every week was, you know, well, we got to get rid of him, got to get rid of him, got to get rid of him. So I mean, it's like muscle memory at that point. Like, all of a sudden, Max starts faltering. Oh, we got to get rid of him. And then you take a step back. Wait a minute. This is Louisville basketball. They're 10 games into the season. Let's see. But I don't know. I think it's the way that they're losing that I think is fueling it. But it's also one of those things where if you say it every week, well, this guy isn't the guy, you know, we got to get rid of him, then by definition, it's you've already bought out. You can't then backtrack and be like, oh, no, you said for 3 weeks that this guy wasn't the guy. Like, but at that point, you have to wear it. And then, I mean, or make you can't then just tiptoe back in. You have to say, I was wrong, the three letters. I maybe jumped the gun a little bit, but I don't know. I don't think it'll get to that point because it is basketball. There is the name brand, and there's a lot of the season left to be played. I feel like you could win them back to a certain extent, especially because now here's the major caveat. I think right now, if there were, like you said, you weren't necessarily anti Satterfield, you were pro Brom. And because he was waiting in the wings, there was a lot of rumbling that, look, all you got to do is sign on the dotted line. There wasn't a lot of speculation. The prodigal son was going to come home. There's not that right now. And I think because of that and because it's U of L basketball, I mean, it's not like, oh, well, Eric Musselman, you know, basically said he would come here. Chris Beard is done with Texas. He was, you know, he's like, I hate this place. Like, I mean, there's none of that. Bruce Pearl just knocked off Kentucky at home and has the number two ranked team in the country. I mean, he's
probably number one.
Probably number one after once the new AP comes out. I don't think it's come out yet. There isn't that guy. If there was that guy that, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, turnkey, let's go, I feel like there would be a massive, massive groundswell.
That's why I said at the beginning, there's no Brom, though. Like that.
Yeah, and because of the fact that it's basketball, I feel like there's still a chance. I mean, you saw it this weekend. I mean, people showed out. There was a positive energy. Now, was it massively deflating and even more so and painful, like you said, because it was drawn out? It wasn't just a balloon popping. But sadly, this is a fan base that has had to deal with that for a long time. And I know there's the fatigue factor, but at the same time, I do think that eventually it's like an injury that you keep having. You get used to the pain enough so that I feel like if they go on a run, people would buy back in way easier than look, he knocks off UVA, he knocks off Duke, he knocks off UNC. You do those three, people are back on board. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
I know that's a big ifs and buts were candy and nuts, you know, I know it's one of those things. But you're saying that, I mean, Satterfield could win 9 games next year, and there's a proportion of the fan base that's done, doesn't matter.
Sure.
Like,
okay,
I feel, I'm saying. I know it's kind of dramatic, of course, but I do think that there's still a portion of the fan base. Hell, they beat UVA tonight. I feel there's a portion of the fan base that could come back a little bit. But it was really painful what happened this past weekend. I can't pretend that it's not. But I guess what I'm saying, a long-winded way of saying that, I don't think that as bad as the loss was this weekend, I don't think that that was a straw that broke the camel's back in a weird way. I don't think so. I think people were pissed off anyway. Like, I almost feel like it's just kind of par for the course at this point. And I think the idea that, well, there's a chance against UVA and a chance against Duke. I mean, they played great in that first half. Like, it was one of those things. It wasn't a rock fight the whole game. There was a good half of basketball, a great half of basketball. Jared West was shooting like he did at Marshall. I mean, everyone was shooting. The shots were finally falling. And so, like, it seems like, well, maybe there is life in this team. Like, had it been a rock fight and they just would have lost to Notre Dame, I feel like there's nothing you can hang your hat on. But the fact that the first half was actually entertaining Louisville basketball again, coupled with the energy that was in there, I feel like it's the program's a stalling car a little bit. But for a split second, it turned over and the car was running again. So,
yeah, I'm just, again, my thing isn't Mac, it's more what replaces Mac.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Like, and again, with there being no Brom, it's like the reason I think I'm not totally jumping off board yet really isn't because I'm, you know, Mac takes me to lunch or something. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's cool,
I'm not getting any like personal pat on the back from Mac, you know, like for not. But it's like, I don't know what you replace him with. Okay, if Bruce Pearl will come, cool. I don't think Louisville will hire Bruce Pearl. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, would I like to? Yes. Do I think they should? Yes. Would it be the best hire by far? Yes. A guy that has multiple Final Fours, a guy that's had multiple number one teams, a guy that took UM Milwaukee to the Sweet 16, you know, you get my point. Like, his resume is Louisville worthy. But did you see the way it was like people were cringing when Russ Smith, I mean, you could tell when Russ Smith Sr. mentioned the 2013 banner, it was like people were like, oh, like the UofL people, you know, were like, ugh. Like, you know, like, don't,
oh,
you know, like you could see, we were down there. You could see the face of the people that were around there. It was going, get the mic. So it's like, do I think they're going to hire Bruce Pearl? Probably not. Okay, so then who do we hire? Kenny Payne, never been a head coach. But I'm fine with that. I think he would do a good job. That one is one that could get me. But the other names that are out there, like, who are you going to hire? Nate Oates. Well, Nate Oates just completed the season sweep by Missouri, not of Missouri, by Missouri this weekend. He's lost to 5 or 6 unranked teams, had a top 10 team coming into the season. I mean, does Eric Musselman do it for you? Maybe, I guess. I mean, he had a decent run last year. He's got a good recruiting class coming in next year, so maybe that's a name that's up there I could listen to. But, I mean, like, other than that, I mean, like I heard, like, Blankenbaker bring up, like, guys like Porter Moser. Like, just give me Mac. I'll take my chances for a couple more years. And there was a call to the Diener show this morning that I thought was actually a very good call was, do you just wait another season to see what all happens? You get what I'm saying? Like, let's see. I mean, Mac has a pretty good recruiting class coming in next year. Like, let's see.
Well, wait a minute. Did that caller call into the Diener show and say that we should let the cake bake?
Yes, basically. Well, no. Yes and no. Because, again, they were kind of saying what I'm saying. It's not really that I'm backing Mac as much as I'm just saying, go ahead and get an AD hired. Go ahead and figure out what this punishment's going to be.
Right, yeah.
Maybe a year from now.
Have some of those question marks answered before.
We can go hire somebody good. Like, you know, now the Louisville sorry, my wife walked in and grabbed some mini Buckeyes and is going back to the room. So, all right. Lovely.
You got Buckeyes?
Yes. Yeah, they're good. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, maybe, right?
I get what they're saying. It's not completely like let the cake bake because it's not talking about Max cake. It's talking about let's get a couple of things. It's more of a, instead of the cake baking, it's let's get the ducks in the row a little bit.
Yeah,
let's get some ducks in a row. Let's find out who's going to be, heading up the athletic department. Let's see who's going to be the president. I mean, that's another thing. We saw what that relationship, what impact that's had on athletics.
Yeah, because, I mean, do you think Bruce Pearl – okay, let's say they do offer Bruce Pearl. I think Bruce Pearl's going to be like, let me come from work for the interim – y'all got an interim president and an interim AD? So that means you may hire an AD or a president in 2 months that's going to say, well, we can't have Bruce Pearl here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, 100%.
No, he's not going to do that. It's like, so it's almost like, do you just suck it up another year? See what happens, and then maybe then we really could talk about the bigger names, you know, and say, because I do think Louisville's still a great job. I mean, whether Nick thinks it is or not, like, Louisville is still an amazing job. Like, we can go take Power Five coaches. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's making sense or if that's coming across the way I want it to.
No. That's not me saying
that I'm like, you know, oh, no, I just think we should give Mac more time. But it's like, I don't know that you just rush and hire a guy if it's like, well, most of these names. Like I said, Bruce Pearl is probably the closest to a quote-unquote Brom, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Even though there's no comparison.
Kenny Payne, too. Like, I mean,
Kenny Payne, yeah. Like, I think Kenny Payne
would
be fine. I feel
like Bruce Pearl and Kenny Payne are the, Chris Mack, Chris Beard of the last coaching hire.
I agree.
One in 1A or 1 in 2, however you want to say it. And then maybe like an Eric Musselman is like third. That's like the Shaka Smart of the last hiring discussion. I don't know, man. Like, I always hate talking about. It's fun. It's one of those things. It's fun, but at the same time, I get it bummed with it because it means that a coach is getting fired, and it means that you're kind of already looking past him. So you're passive aggressively kind of doing the whole.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's not the guy, and then especially the midway point of the season, especially with all that stuff. Look, I think Louisville's a terrific job, but I think any job that doesn't have a president, doesn't have an AD, and has the sword of Damocles with the NCAA hovering over it, is going to take the shine off. And then when you add in the fact that, you know, I'm not saying that U of L's broke by any stretch, but they got some tabs to pay. And the money ain't exactly flowing in because, I mean, let me grant you your argument, the whole, well, if Mac's not the guy because the ticket sales are down, well, then that means the coffers ain't exactly full. So you can't money whip someone to the extent that maybe you have in the past. So you throw all that together, any program that has all those hurdles is going to be limited in their coaching search. So with that said, you have all that stuff going on and you're still saying that what's going on with the basketball program is worse than trying to hire someone with all that stuff going on.
But if you fire him, and okay, see, Kentucky had Billy Gillespie. Ha ha ha. Okay, that's fine. They let him go. What did they do? Home run. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. And they were back schools, immediately.
Yeah. Different schools have done that. The reason I'm saying you have to be careful with this, and I know everybody just wants to say, just fire him, kick him out, just hire whoever. Nato's, hire him. I don't care. Whoever. We'll find another coach. Okay. But if you fire Mac and you do hire, say you hire Musselman or you hire Nato's or you hire somebody that's coming, or Kenny Payne even, you know, and somebody like that, and they don't succeed, you've just knocked yourself off a rung of college basketball royalty, right? Like, you get that. You get what I'm saying. You've now Miami footballed yourself a little bit. That is a great analogy. You've made back-to-back bad hires. You're not the same program you used to be anymore. And that's why I think it's like, no, you need to be more careful with this. This isn't Louisville football. Yes, we can all say, Talvin Satterfield, fire him. Well, move on. You know, like I said, two reasons. One, we had a Brom. Two, Louisville football's not there yet. We can switch coaches around until we find the right one. You know, and maybe we have. Maybe Satterfield is the right one. We're going to find out, you know. But it's like Louisville basketball is an elite program. You can say this one didn't work out, but you can't say this one didn't work out, then just rush and make a hire and the next one not work out.
No, especially.
Or this program's different now.
Especially when, I mean, no offense to David Padgett, I mean, you know, an interim coach. I mean, you had back-to-back Hall of Famers. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you had a Hall of Famer, and then he was pretty good, you know, got into the tournament a little bit, you know, but no, you had back-to-back Hall of Famers. You're a program that really, I mean, it's been, 50 years since you had
Nobody holds David Padgett against you in the big.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And he had a better season than we're having right now.
I was just about to say, I mean, they're one dang not running the baseline away from being in the tournament.
And that tournament was kooky as all get out, you remember. Yeah. I mean, that was the one where
you say they couldn't have, you know, tiptoed and snuck into the Sweet 16.
I know. So, yeah, gosh, man, we didn't even take a break that hour. But
we got some callers, too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. We just got them. We got Big Mike and we got Dean. So maybe we take our top
of the
hour.
What do you want
to do? Let's take a top of the hour break here. This one's going to be meaty. Okay. This is going to be a meaty break because we gotta catch up.
Yeah, that was totally my. I'm at home. I'm not paying attention to the clock.
No, man. it's my bad too. You know, I'm kind of on Mike 2 today, so I kind of haven't been looking at the clock either. So yeah, let's take.
Well, you're the one gets in trouble for not taking breaks. So yeah, it is more your fault.
Yeah, exactly. So Big Mike, Dean, hang on.
Hold on. Yeah.
Give us like 5 minutes or so, and we're gonna clear all our spots, and then we'll have hour two of middays with Marcus Maven. But it's Steve Rummage and Nikki P today. So there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it. Yep. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.